produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
And welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am the radio host here on the Mommy Meltdown. And I'm also the founder of the Mommy Meltdown Facebook group. If you have not joined that Facebook group, I would love to invite you to do that. There we just try to offer weekly encouragement by laughs or posts or just thoughts, and it's just a way for you to connect with other moms. So
I hope that you will find the time to just get on Facebook and click in the family there on Mom Meltdown. Since I have started the radio show, and goodness, I can't even tell you how long I've been doing it.
Quite sure, but through the Mommy Meltdown radio show, we have been looking at the theme called distracted. Throughout the whole journey, we've just been talking about being distracted as moms and how it's so easily to be distracted from the important things of life when so often the good things are constantly grabbing our attention. You know, the things that we're obligated to, and our responsibilities, and the things that aren't bad, they're good, but yet they neglect us from what's truly important. And we've been on that theme And I feel like now the Lord has just kind of changed my direction to take us to a new theme. And that's from my book, my second book that I wrote, called Sparkle and Shine. Because I truly believe as moms, one of our challenges is to be a light. To be a light that shines for our kids. And as a child of God, which is our first calling and our first position, it's who we are, a child of God, God calls us to shine our light. And I truly believe that the most important place for us to shine our light is in our homes and into our children, and to invest in them and let them see all the goodness that God has bestowed upon us. And so for however long God allows, we're going to be taking the theme, Sparkle and Shine, and putting it into our motherhood journey. And how to be a light to our children, and the responsibility we have there. But listen, I'm going to tell you, today I'm just keeping it real. I'm sitting on the back porch, on my screened-in back porch, not in a fancy studio or in an office. I'm just at home speaking into my cell phone while my son is outside swimming. So I asked him, please keep the noises to a minimum so I could do my recording show, and then I'm going to jump in the pool with him and we're going to splash and have fun together and make some wonderful summer memories on this hot, hot summer day. But anyway, ladies, thank you for being a part of today's program, and I would like to ask you to commit to listening to the entire program, because listen, I know how it is. We start off and then we get distracted by something pulls our attention, and we're not able to make that commitment to listen to the entire lesson today. But I truly believe that God has something for you if you will give him the time and the chance to speak to your heart. So as we begin, let me just start off by saying something about myself. Those who know me know this is true. And for those who are going to learn who I am, you are going to learn this about me as well. I have a very simple mind. I'm a very simple-minded person. Because of that, though, I can take such simple truths and apply them to my life in such an easy manner. And then I'm able to teach what I've learned. So I come to you as someone who taught first grade for many, 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 many years and learned how to, learned what worked for kids. And a lot of times what works for kids also works for us because we're just taller versions of ourselves, right? but for those of you who are scholars and deep thinkers, this may challenge you a little bit today because you're going to have to put on that first grade brain for just a moment. And that might drive you crazy, but God has a way of speaking in sometimes the simplest ways. And we don't have to complicate his truths, and we don't have to complicate his message. And God was a very visual teacher. I love how he used illustrations, and he loved to use simple, everyday parables and teach such powerful thoughts and had such life-changing applications in them. So for all you other simple-minded thinkers out there, no shame, okay? All right, now, when I began to talk of this subject about being a light or to sparkle and shine, automatically my child goes to the very simple song, This Little Light of Mine. And if anyone else of you has a brain that's triggered like mine, your mind went there also, didn't it? Go ahead and confess. It did. When we hear the title about being a light, or let your light shine, or sparkle and shine, immediately we think about the song, This Little Light of Mine. It's a great song. And I think what's so amazing about this song is it's short, it's simple, it's powerful, and it punches a lot of wisdom in a very quick, catchy little tune. But listen to the song. You know it. Sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, obviously, I'm not a singer. But one of my favorite things to do is just to sing around the house and to sing some good old fun Bible tunes that you learned in Sunday school. Like, I love those type of songs. And I think that comes from being a first grade teacher for so long. But how amazing, y'all, this short little message is. The simplicity in the message, but the powerful thought behind it. And if we looked at probably what inspired this song, I would imagine it came from Matthew 5:14. You're the light of the world. God says you are to let your light shine. And when God calls us to do something, he never gives us a command without giving us the instructions to follow through. And God tells us, he says, look, you're to be the light of the world. Be the light of the world. So often we as Christians put that responsibility on the preachers, the pastor of the church, the preachers, the missionaries, the Sunday school teachers, the assistant pastors, the youth pastors. We put the responsibility on, hey, they're the leaders. It's their job to shine. It's their job to be a light. But when you read that verse, it says you. Okay, go back and look at that. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. That's a personal pronoun, which means that's me. God's talking to me. And he says, your light is to shine. Well, why is your light supposed to shine? Why is your light so important? Well, listen, mama, your light is your influence, your testimony. It's your legacy. Your light is that realm around you that shines to anybody you come in contact with. Your children, your husband, your neighbors, your community, your church, your Sunday school class, your coworkers, anybody that's in that realm of influence around you. Your light is that positive influence, that positive effect that you have on those around you. And God says he wants you to be the light. So God puts that responsibility on you because he knows that there are people in your life that only you can reach. Yeah, kind of puts that pressure on you, doesn't it? But he knows that you can be a ray of sunshine to people around you. There's an influence you can offer to your circle of friends and to your family that no one else can offer. You see, you have a way of reaching your children that nobody else can because you're mama. You are mama. And God wants you to be a light to your children. So often in today's society, we get so sidetracked by trying to be this, influencer on social media or an author that reaches other women or a motivational speaker or, you know, we try to go outside the realms of our home to share our insight and share our wisdom and share our encouragement. But, you know, I think it was Mother Teresa that so wisely said, if you want to change the world, then go back and love those in your home. Love the people in your home. Start there. You start in your home and let those people go out into the world and they impact the world by loving their families and their children. So don't fail to shine your light to those who are most important to you. You see, God entrusted your family to you. Those children that drive you crazy, those children that make you want to run out and get a break for a while or hide out in the bathroom, those are the children that God entrusted to you because he knew they needed your influence. They needed your example. They needed your testimony. They needed your light. God chose you. He specifically picked you to be the mother of your children. You see, you have your own light. Your light is so special. It's unique and it's different to everyone else's light. Now, we have the same person who ignited that flame in our hearts. Okay, God is the only one who could light our light. When we were saved, He gave us that special light. But each one of ours are different and unique because each one of us have a unique and different purpose in life. Maybe your light is you are very patient. Maybe you are very loving. Perhaps you're funny and you can just make laughter out of any situation. Maybe you are very encouraging, or perhaps you are great at singing and dancing your way through a bad day. Maybe God is giving you the gift of wisdom and insight, or whatever it is, whatever your strength is that God has given you, that is your light. That is your opportunity to shine into your kids, that positive influence. Don't take it for granted that God has given you these special characteristics and these special gifts. God put it in you because He wants you to use it in a very specific way. You were designed on purpose, everything about you. Sometimes it's easy to get caught in that trap of, oh, I wished I was more like her. I wish I was that mom that was just so easygoing and nothing ruffled her feathers. But don't get in that trap. God's made you who you are because He has strengths in you. And don't get caught up on your weaknesses. Get focus on the strengths that God has given you and allow those strengths to be the light that you invest into your children. When I think of a light, it's that light is started by Jesus when we become saved. He is the light. He is the source of our light. And what we have to remember is that light cannot be lit in our own strength or power. It's a flame that only God can ignite deep in our hearts. But the blessing of that is that the flame will burn forever. The flame He starts will go forever. It's not like, I don't know if you've ever done a burn pile before. My husband and I had recently cut down, oh, goodness, several pine trees. We're clearing out a backyard, and we cleared it out and had all these pine trees come down. And so they ended up in one huge pile, and we've been working on this burn pile now for months. So I feel like I am a professional fire starter from doing burn pile after burn pile after burn pile. But something I've noticed, when we are doing a burn pile, we can either stick a whole bunch of like cardboard on there, throw some gas on and light a match, or use a full fire starter, or use a blowtorch like my husband has done. And what happens is you immediately get this gulf of a huge ball of fire. I mean, it's almost like an explosion. Boom, you have this big ball of fire. But then what happens very quickly, it fizzles out. What has happened is the juice goes to the cardboard, and it's such a quick burn that it rarely gets hot enough to get into the wood to cause the wood to burn. All right, now on the flip side of that, when we have taken the time to get a whole bunch of small pieces of twigs and branches and leaves and pine straw, and we've gotten a lot of that the small things that will catch on fire. And then we add to those small branches and twigs and leaves, we add to that some paper and cardboard. And then even when we pour a little bit of gasoline, you don't even have to pour some gasoline on it. But once you do that, you can just start the smallest fire with just a little tiny piece of paper, and it gets a hold of those small twigs and those small branches and those leaves, and it creates a hot, deep fire that once that heat gets so hot, it then begins to hit those logs and hit those pine trees, and guess what happens? It catches those on fire, and then you have a long burning fire that will last. And when those logs catch on fire, that fire will last for days and days and days and days until either that log is completely burned up and there's nothing left in that little pile, or it begins to rain. And that's how the Lord is. When the Lord ignites that flame in your heart, it's not going to be burned out. Your light is there to stay. It's there for eternity because He has put that light inside of you. Now, I will say, over time, yes, your little light may get dull and it may need to be rekindled. But the magnificent truth here is that your light will never burn out because Jesus Christ is that light. He is the source of light in your life, and He never goes away. John 8:12 is a wonderful verse that I can remember being at youth camp. We memorized it, but we also learned it to a song, and it has stuck in my heart and in my mind for all these years. But the verse, John 8:12, says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So God says, "I am the light of life. And when you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in the light." So God promises that each of us that are saved, each of us that have trusted in Him, have a light. We have a light, and we can choose to follow Him with that light and do something wonderful, wonderful for Him that will bring Him honor and glory, and that allows my light to shine bright for Him. Now, let's go back to that song just for a moment, that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember the second verse? That next verse is hide under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Again, another powerful thought packed into that short, simple little verse. But the truth here is God's giving you a light, and He doesn't want you to hide your light. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of your light. Matthew 5:14, we were talking about that verse just a minute ago, when we said, "You're the light of the world." All right, He goes on to say, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." All right, think about that just for a moment. A city that is set on a hill. A house that's lit up with lights all over, especially at Christmas time. But you see a house that's set on a hill and the light is shining bright for all to see. It gets attention, doesn't it? Just like, let's say, for instance, you're on a drive, you're just kind of cruising through the countryside, and you see this beautiful little white country farmhouse set on a hill, and it's sitting snug and cozy in the protection of trees, and it looks so quaint and inviting, and it draws your attention to it. You just can't help but notice. It's a beautiful, spectacular view, and it just kind of demands attention. Well, that's what God says He wants our life to be, just like a city that is set on a hill with all these beautiful lights. It demands your attention. You're going to look. You're going to notice. And that's what God wants your light to be like. He wants you to be this beautiful, beautiful light that demands attention in a positive way. It gets a positive, alluring attention that says, "Hey, it's not about me, it's about God. Look to God." And you can use your influence to reach others in this way. You think, well, who am I supposed to be reaching? Well, think about the people that God has put into your world and that little realm of influence that you have. First, starting off with your family. Loving, kind, gracious, forgiving. They don't get that version of us. But yet, they are the ones that God has put into our trust. God says, start with your family. You should work every day on drawing your family to God, not away from God. Your testimony should be so effective to your family that there's no doubt you love and serve the one true God. God should be so real to you that your family, your children, know that you serve a living God. So don't hide your light from your family. Don't be ashamed of your light or try to ignore your light. You were called to go and share it. So start with your home. Remember, your home is the most important place that God has planted you. Bloom there. Bloom, invest in your kids, and know that God has entrusted them to you. So sparkle and shine for the sake of your kids. So how do you sparkle and shine? I've got a few minutes here, and we might just focus more on this next week, but real quickly, how do you let your shine? How do you let your light shine? Number one, the only way you can let your light shine is by spending time with the one who gives the light. You have to know him. You have to know the source of the light. Now, this is not something you can fake or pretend. You can't give a shortcut to this. The only way your light is going to stay healthy and bright is by spending time with him. The next way is by investing in others and making a difference in those around you. Investing in your family. Loving on them. Okay, the next point is by being real. You're never going to offer a true light if you're trying to fake your light. So be real. Number four, get out of your bubble and out of your comfort zone and decide to invest in others. And the next one is don't brag about what you've done. Brag about God. Brag about who he is and what he's done in your life. So, letting your light shine, shining them to your family, start with your kids, your husband, your loved ones, and make a difference for God. Just sparkle and shine in your home and be real to them. I love you. Blessings, and I'll see you next time on the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I am an author of the books, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, and also the newest, latest, and greatest, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Paid to Do It. I am also a business consultant. I teach purpose-driven women entrepreneurs exactly how to use your God-given gifts and talents to create wealth, and the founder of Sistars Women's Empowerment Network. I am so happy to be on today. Thank you to my loyal listeners, my viewers, my followers for tuning in. It has been a blessing to be able to come on this show, the What Now God radio show, to speak with you, to talk about what now, God. What do we do now that we are going through this situation? What do we do now after we have prayed? What do we do now when we feel like all hope is gone? I just thank you so much for tuning in. And today's topic will be careful of the words that you speak. Yes, you heard that right. Be careful of the words that you speak. So let me just tell you a little story about something that I've been going through for the last 6 months or so. I've been having trouble with my iron levels, with keeping my iron levels up. It got so bad that I was almost having to get a blood transfusion, and God knows how I feel about that. But my blood levels, my iron levels were so low that they really sent me to the emergency room a few times, and it wasn't looking good. And during that time, I was feeling so tired. I was feeling exhausted. I was feeling like it was hard just to get out of bed, hard to put one foot in front of the other. And I would speak that. I would say, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Oh, I feel so bad. And it just got worse and worse. It was like I could not see a light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that something had to give. I was taking 3 and 4 iron pills a day. Nothing was working. And, you know, my doctor was like, okay, you're really going to have to make this decision and get this blood transfusion. So what I did, I started speaking life. I started speaking health and declaring, by His stripes I am healed, and thanking God for healing me, thanking God for restoring my energy, thanking God for making a way to where I would not have to get the blood transfusion. So what happened was, to make a long story short, I ended up speaking to a friend who also had the same exact issues. And when I say she had the same exact issues, she had the same low energy. She had the same feelings of not wanting to get out of bed, of being exhausted and sleepy and tired all the time. And what she did was, she was able to, instead of getting a blood transfusion, she was able to get an iron infusion. So let me say that again, because this may help somebody who may be going through the same thing. So like I said, I was iron deficient. I'm anemic. My iron was so low. Doctors wanted me to have a blood transfusion, which meant I would have to go into the hospital and get someone else's blood in me, which they say is low risk, but I did not want to take a chance. So this friend of mine was telling me how she had went through all these things, the iron pills, nothing worked. And her doctor had recommended that she get an iron infusion, something I had never heard of. Okay, now catch this, because some of you need an infusion of the blood of Jesus. Some of us, sometimes when we're going through things, we are so focused on the problem and we're not remembering that the blood of Jesus that has already been shed to save us all, to stop every illness, to that has the power to change every situation around for our good, right? So I was able to, instead of getting this blood transfusion, which they do say is minimal risk, like I said, but I wasn't trying to have that, y'all. I was chicken and didn't want nobody else's blood in me. I was able to have an iron infusion. I had to go into the doctor. It took about a couple hours of my time, sat there, relaxed, was able to get this iron pumped directly into my own bloodstream. And when I tell you all, I immediately started feeling better. It was like I could feel the life being poured back into me. It was just amazing. It was easy. I didn't have to remember to take any pills. A month later, I'm at my doctor's office and she's just in awe. She's like, "Oh my God, Cheryl, you look so much better. You are just glowing." It's like, it was a night and day change for her. She said, "Before, I looked like I was on my last leg." But I said that all to say, be careful of the words that you speak. So we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. We can speak good, we can speak hope, and speak encouragement, or we can speak evil, we can speak cursing, okay? We can speak death, even, like literally. So we have to be careful. And I told that story because so many times we focus and we speak the things that we're going through. We speak how we feel. We speak our current situation, where that is not how God taught us. That is not what He wants us to do. If we look at the creation of the world, when God spoke, He said, "Let there be light." And He saw that it was good, right? So everything that God spoke, from the birds that we see flying, from the trees, the flowers, even the life that we have, the life of breath that He breathed into us, everything that He spoke, it was good. God didn't go around cursing people out. God didn't go around complaining about what was going on earth, even though He had every right to do, because, you know, we have all sinned and fallen short of His glory. So I'm sure that many of us, let's think about it, when we think about our children, when we think about them not doing what we're telling them to do, when we think about all these things, right, it's like, oh my goodness, it's easy to complain. It's easy to say, "Oh, why is she doing this?" Or, "This child of mine is never going to get it right," right? It's easy to speak those things that are not edifying. It's easy to speak those things that are not uplifting, that are not positive, that are not encouraging. So let me give you three ways that you can remember to speak life. okay? Three ways that you can remember to speak life, speak blessings, and to speak encouragement when you're facing situations that may not be the best, when you're facing illness, when you're facing those things that you don't know how you're going to get out of that situation, right? So number one is to remember God, okay? Remember God and thank Him. Remember everything that God has done for you in the past. Every time that He has saved you, every time that He has blessed you, every time that He has done something for you and your family, performed a miracle, every time that He's gotten you out of that situation, where sometimes we get our own selves in bad situations, right? And what do? We say, oh God, help. Oh God, please save me from this, right? So remember God and thank Him. Thank Him for every time that He saved you. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every time that He has answered your prayers, all right? Remember God and thank Him. And when we're remembering God and we're thanking Him, just know that our blessings always outweigh our problems. I don't care how much bad stuff has happened in your life, your blessings always outweigh your problems. The things that God has done for you will always outweigh the things that the enemy is trying to do to you. Let me say that again. The things that God has already done for you will always outweigh anything that the enemy is trying to bring against you. Okay? So number one, we're going to remember God and we're going to thank Him. Number two, count your blessings, not your problems. Okay? It's easy to have focus on everything that is going wrong. It's easy to focus on the money that's not in the bank. It's easy to focus on your health or how you're not feeling good. It's easy to focus on that heartbreak, that heartache. It's easy to focus on the loss of the job. It's easy to focus on the kids not acting up, the husband or the wife not acting right, right? It's easy for us to focus on those things. But when we start counting our blessings, my God, when we start counting our blessings, start with the blessing of just the breath in your body, okay? Think about how many people didn't make it. Think about this pandemic that we're going through and all the people that we have lost, all the people who are no longer here. Think about that, right? Think about the times that we didn't know where our next paycheck was coming from, all right? Think about the times when you didn't have, and God stepped in and showed up and showed out, all right? Then it's so easy to start counting your blessings. Thank Him for the roof over your head. Thank Him for being a way, making a way out of no way when you didn't know how you was going to get through it, okay? Thank Him for the clothes on your back. Thank Him for your eyes that can see, your ears that can hear. Thank Him for blessing you with the people around you who love you. Thank you, God. Thank Him for the gifts and the talents that He has placed in you. Thank God for those children, those grandchildren, those parents, those brothers, the sisters, those people that He placed in your family that uplift you, that encourage you, those friends who are like family. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, for sending His Son, who sticks closer than a brother, right? Thank Him for all of those things. Count those blessings. And while you're counting those blessings, write them down. I'm going to tell you, when I write down my blessings, when I'm feeling discouraged or I'm feeling low, I take out a pen, I take out a paper, and I just begin to write. And I write down every single blessing, from the biggest to the least, to the unexpected, to the unexpected, okay? To the expected. And I just get a joy. It just makes you feel so good because you're like, you know what, God? You have blessed me so much. You have loved me so much, even when I could barely love myself. Count your blessings, not your problems. And while you're counting them and you're writing them down, remember, number one is to remember God, thank Him for everything that he's done. So number one, the way that you're going to speak life and that you're going to be careful for the words that come out of your mouth, you're going to remember God and thank him. Number two, you're going to count your blessings, not your problems. Okay. And moving on to number three, which is the most important, which is the most powerful, and which is going to manifest into your life those things that you want, those things that you desire, those things that you have prayed and prayed about. Number three is to speak out loud. Okay. So many times, too many times, we allow the devil to shut us up. Okay. We are hurt. And so we don't pray. We may cry, but we don't pray. We're downtrodden. We're discouraged, but we don't pray. We allow the enemy to shut us up. We allow the enemy to keep us speaking life, to keep us from speaking those blessings, to keep us from speaking the word of God. So we're going to speak the word out loud. You're going to say, I am the head and not the tail. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to speak the word of God. And how do you know what word to speak? The way that you know what word to speak is because you're going to study the word. You're going to get into your Bible. You're going to go attend those Bible studies. You're going to take notes in those church services, right? You're going to make sure that the word of God is in you, so that when those hard times come, you're able to speak the word of God aloud. You're able to speak to those demons and rebuke the devil and rebuke the enemy. You're able to say, you know what? God will never leave me nor forsake me. God loved me so much that he sent his one and only son so that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Right? You're going to say, fear not. I will not fear, for God is with me. You're going to say, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. I am blessed because I trust in the Lord. I will wait on the Lord. Okay? You have to get that word in you and you have to speak that word aloud, because let me tell you, the word of God is life-giving. The word of God is life-changing. The word of God has the power of a double-edged sword. It can cut through anything in your life that is not God's will. It can change anything in your life that is not God's will. Okay? For all things work together for the what? For the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You have to be careful the words you speak, okay? So the next time someone is getting on your nerves, the next time that you get a bad report from the doctor, the next time that you're not having a good day at your job, the next time that you're faced with something unthinkable, a loss of a loved one, okay? I just lost my grandmother last week, and it's been a year of her struggling and being sick and in and out of hospitals. And I miss my granny. I miss her so much. And I miss that we didn't get to spend a lot of time during this last year because of the pandemic, because of the in shelter at home, because that we've been, you know, secluding ourselves and not trying to get one another sick. I missed it. And I was feeling so bad. And a little bit selfish, because I wanted my granny here with me. I wanted her to be here longer. But then I had to think, wait a minute. My granny was suffering. My granny was 93 years old when she passed last week. 93 years young, all right? And I had to think, she's not in pain anymore. And my granny loved the Lord, and she poured the love of God that she had into me and all of her grandchildren. She lived a great life. She lived a God-fearing life. Okay, so there's no doubt in my mind that the word is true. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. So I had to speak that out loud. I had to tell myself that. and remember that she is his and she is with the Lord. And I don't have to worry about her and I don't have to see her suffering, right? So we have to be careful the words that we speak. Be careful the words that we allow out of our mouth. The next time that you feel like cussing somebody out, speak blessings over them, okay? Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. We have to get in that word. We have to make it second nature. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us so that we can remember it, all right? And I'm just going to say right now, I want to say a prayer for everyone who's listening, as well as myself, my family, my friends. God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for your word, your life-giving word. We thank you that we can speak and that we have the power of life and death in our tongue, and that instead of speaking death, God, that we're reminded to speak life and blessings and encouragement and uplift one another and pray one for the other. God bless everyone who is listening to this radio show. God bless them. God, you know what they are going through. You know their hearts and you hear their prayers. And we are trusting you. We are believing you that you answer, because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So whenever you're having trouble with the words that you speak, in order to remember to speak life and not death, remember these two things. These three things. Number one, remember God, okay? All he has done for you, and thank him. Number two, count your blessings and not your problems. Matter of fact, write them down. And number three, speak the word of God aloud. Speak the word of God to your situation and watch it change. This has been another episode of the What Now God radio show. I pray that you have been blessed by it. You can find me on Facebook, What Now God Radio. I am Author C. Woods on Facebook. I would love to connect with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time. You have a blessed and prosperous day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. I am your host, Sonya Nelson, and today I have a very special guest with me by the name of Grace Harvey. Grace Harvey has served 18 years as a pre-K teacher and is currently an executive director of a nonprofit for girls entitled Pink and Pearls for Girls Incorporated. Hello, Grace. Say hello to everyone out here.
Well, hello, everyone. And thank you so much, Ms. Nelson, for having me on the show today.
You are very welcome. I'm excited to have you on the show today. Just want to remind everybody that the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast mission is to inspire women and to help them know and value their self-worth. So my goal for the next few months is just to showcase those women that are doing just that. Who are doing things that help to uplift other people through encouragement, motivation, and just knowing that they have a place in this world and they own it. So you are one of those people, and I'm so very excited to interview you for this. So let's get started. Okay, my very first question, you know, I gave just a very brief insight as to who you are. You know, what else can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I'm at a place now where this is a great time to be on this show, considering the purpose of it, because I'm at a time now where I am really exploring myself as a woman, mm-hmm. My abilities and my capabilities mm-hmm. as a woman. You're never too old to continue growth in yourself. So, and that's growth as a mom, because I, you know, do have children. Mm-hmm. I have one out of the house, and then I have two that are still with me, and is mm-hmm. continuing growth as a leader too as well. So I'm kind of just still, you know, in that place of growth for myself as a leader, and then also as a teacher as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, what is it? You are a pre-K teacher. Have you just strictly been teaching pre-K for the 18 years?
Yes. Yes. Well, no, not strictly pre-K per se, but mm-hmm. I started out very young mm-hmm. as a child care provider. Okay. About when I was about 19-ish, you know, mm-hmm. making a little extra money while I was in school. And did not intend at all to stay in education. Mm-hmm. My path that I wanted to go in was psychology. Wow. But, you know, God has a journey for you. So my journey led to education, and that's where I'm at right now. Okay. And that's my purpose, serve children, you know, through my job, as well as the organization as well.
Okay. Now, being that, you know, so much is going on in society right now, and I try to focus on the positive of things and try to uplift and encourage other people. So just, this may seem like a weird question, but for today, what has been the highlight of your day and why?
As of today, this mm-hmm. day,
mm-hmm. Oh. Just today in general, what has been the highlight of it?
I find joy in everything. Even during the pandemic, I recently did a live about finding joy in every moment, mm-hmm. or, you know, just like you said, in the run of a day, finding joy. So my joy is, as of today, it's just being able to really and truly be around my children, mm-hmm. To be able to talk with them. We have been having a lot of couch conversations that were very well needed. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, looking forward to that each day. That has been my highlights, and most definitely my highlight today too as well.
Oh, that's awesome. And I understand that with so much going on, I think I'm trying to soak up my kids a little bit more as well, you know, to the point they're almost like, Mama, what is wrong with you? But, you know, it's that thing, you know, they're growing before your eyes, and it's just, you want to hold on a little bit tighter and a little bit longer, you know,
right.
Nowadays with so much, you know, going on. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on just past that, because that, you know, that can be an all day discussion on the highlight of our day in regards
all
to
right.
our children, especially. But, you know, since meeting you, I've observed how you really like to give back to the community. Now, what's the story behind Pink and Pearls for Girls? You know, what caused you to create a program for girls?
Well, I'm going to be transparent with you on that question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pink and Pearls for Girls, and truly, it was created out of hurt and pain at a time that I was going through. I love girls anyway, because I have two daughters of my own. So I decided to do a group, which was just like just something that I was doing, you know, inviting a couple of their friends over. We have a little couple of parties, just something really, really small.
Mm-hmm.
And, a situation occurred during that time, and I became extremely depressed behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of poured everything I had into Pinky Pearls for Girls for what it is today. Never thought that it would be like it, you know, what it is today, because again, mm-hmm. it was just something that I was really doing and really pouring a lot of energy into just right at home, you know, right in my living room. And I would just, you know, have their little friends give them little lessons, a lot of self-esteem lessons and confidence, lessons on confidence, because I was going through a very painful and hurtful situation at the time myself. And in the blink of an eye, I noticed that the program grew when I could not hold events at my home anymore. I was like, okay, well, now's the time. You know, I have to branch out. You know, the program is growing. And before I knew it, in a couple of years later, we were serving over 100 and some girls in the community.
Wow. Gosh, that's a lot of girls. And that, and when did you start? When did the program actually start?
It was June of 2011.
Wow. Okay, so you're 10 years working on, knocking on 10 years?
4 years.
Wow. Gosh, yes. That is awesome, though. And I say during the journey of this, you know, what was instrumental in you really getting it off of the ground? Like, what other people did you have? What support system did you have? How did it all come together?
For me, building, the number one thing I would say is building relationships, building positive relationships, because you have a lot of nonprofit organizations, and you have, you know, a lot of community organizations as well that are out there too. And you know, you want to be able to connect with others in the community. You want to be able to partner with others in the community and build those positive relationships in order to get to fulfill your goals, whatever goals that you may have for your organization. Also, too, with the families that came, you know, that are in Pinky Pearls now and the ones that we've worked with in the past, building relationships with not only the girls, but the parents and their guardians too as well. Because whatever we bring across to our girls, whatever learning opportunities, whatever we're working on with our girls, we want to make sure that it's implemented back into the home. And, you know, Pinky Pearls, like I said in the beginning, was never intended for that. You know, I started off with something just being fun, doing a little couple of activities here with girls, and that's about it. And then when I saw the impact that it was having, you know, and we were growing, we started to do a lot of intentional and strategic planning, you know, for our girls and for our families to meet their needs in the program. So, and all of that, you know, came within the 9 years we've been operating. So this just didn't happen overnight. So it's and it's amazing, you know, when God gives you just a plant, a little seed in you, and how it can just blossom into what it is today. It's amazing just to have seen the growth on it, and I'm excited just to see, you know, what it's going to be looking like in the future as well.
That is awesome, though. It's really been a pleasure to kind of watch from the background, in the sense I've, you know, attended a lot of things that you've offered, and just to see the commitment of the girls and their parents, you know, it's overwhelming and it's amazing, but it's out there and it's needed. Watching you all grow together, even the girls, you know, the things, the different types of programs. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on the programs you actually offer or the things that you all do through the organization?
Yes. About 4 years ago, we created a Praise Dance, Inspirational Praise Dance Team, where we minister to God, and the girls had the opportunity to, you know, praise dance for different events, for weddings, you name it, for nursing homes. And that was a huge way of giving back to the community, for them giving back to the community. also, too, we've created a leadership program, a youth leadership program for our girls, which is it's phenomenal. We've created a leadership notebook where they go through a leadership process, and then towards the end, which is a 9-month process, and then towards the end, we award them their leadership pins and credentials and all of that, and it's quite interesting and fun for them. We also have Girls in Confidence Camp that we do every summer for 1 week. Mm-hmm. And it's the Monday through Friday from like 6:30 to 8 where we will meet and we will do enrichment activities and hands-on workshops related to confidence. Also, we have we have another program, which is Crown Me Confident.
Okay.
That they go through a 6-week process on that, and then we end with a show of an award ceremony too as well.
And just listening to you, the bells are going off in my head all kind of ways, like just ideas. I've always like talking with you because you give me so many ideas, but it's just like, okay, girl, she didn't give you all these ideas. Like, get yourself on out there and do something with those ideas.
Yeah.
So, the importance of, not just thinking about those things you want to do, to help other people or within the community, but to go ahead and just step out on it, wherever you are. I think for most of it, it's like you have to have all the pieces together before you move, but now listening to, a lot of women like yourself is start with where you are. Do, mm-hmm. With what you have now and just let it grow. You don't have to have everything all at once to get that thing going. Whatever God
right.
has put in for you to do, just do with whatever you have. And I'm guilty of it. I get caught up in, well, it's not enough. What are they going to say? What if only 5 girls show up or 5 people show mm-hmm. up, is mm-hmm. anybody listening? But you just kind of have to move with it. You just have to go with the flow. So in your journey with this, and I know you're still going with it, thinking about you and the girls, what are some of the lessons that they have taught you in the process of all of this? Not just what you've been able to give them through the journey of this, through Pink and Pearls for Girls, but what have they've been able to teach you?
Mm-hmm. Every girl is unique. Every girl is different. So therefore, their needs are different. Mm-hmm. And I've learned with working with them is I have to be able to respect that. Mm-hmm. So by that, I have made sure to whatever I do as far as like any learning activities or any type of projects that we do, to respect and have a variety of ways to bring forth those learning opportunities, not just one way, and expect them to get it, but have a variety of ways to bring that across. So you can't approach some girls the way you can with others. And so we have to be able to respect that uniqueness. That takes a lot of patience because, it just depends on how each girl will respond to what you're trying to do, And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to really be relatable. We serve a wide range of girls from 3 years old to 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wide range. So what I do for a group of 3 or 4-year-olds may not work for 6 to 8-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 8-year-olds, it may not work for the teen. My approach on the way that I would relate to them on any given, day, in the organization. So, we just have to keep that mindful, and know that girls are unique. These children are unique. They have their own values. They have their own way of thinking. And you have to be able to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely true. Definitely true mm-hmm. in that. Now, again, as I was saying earlier, you know, people have the tendency to not step out on things, you know, for different reasons. Like I was saying, you know, not having the right materials or not having enough of this, that, and the other to get started on that thing. In everything, there'll be some sets of challenges. What kind of words or what words would you express to others that may be stuck in that stepping out, you know, to encourage them to, you know, just take the step? What kind of words would you even tell yourself maybe years before if you were in that similar situation and not where you wanted to be to step out in something? What words would you have told yourself and what can you tell others?
I would encourage if you have that little seed planting in you and you have that passion, and I would say most definitely take one day at a time, one step at a time. Don't be as scared of no's, because I've had a lot of no's. Don't be scared of attendance and participants, because I've had one time where only one or two girls may have shown up. But my policy is I don't cancel events unless it's, you know, harmful or bad weather or something like that, or we just have to in that sense. But never cancel events because of participation, because that one girl or those one or two girls may need whatever you're offering at that time. And so if those one or two girls or that one person took the time to come to whatever you have going on, then you give them that all, even if it's just one. And that has happened before. Mm-hmm. And whatever you push off. If you don't have a team behind you or people to help, just keep in mind, nonprofits is just like a business. You have to do a lot of it. Well, it's a business. It's just like a profit business. Like you're in entrepreneurship almost. Mm-hmm. And you have to invest a lot of time. It takes a lot of time, a lot of investment. And along the way, you know, the more you get out there, the more you turn around and you have a team. You know, mm-hmm. It started out with me and two of my friends, which are one of the co-founders. And now, today, Pinky Pearls have a team of 17 people.
Wow.
So you see, and we didn't start out. It was just me and myself, and two of my friends that are co-founders of Pinky Pearls. And before I knew it, you know, now we have 17 team members that are volunteers that work with the organization. So, you know, you just have to believe in your story, be able to tell your story, be able to get personal with your story, because mm-hmm. people believe you, you know, and start believing in what you're trying to do. And want to come in and be able to help.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. What do you want, or what would you want your legacy to be in regards to everything that you're doing or things that you foresee yourself doing? What would you want your takeaway in this life to be? What do you want to be remembered for?
Wow, nobody ever asked me that before. I want to be remembered for being there. Just, mm-hmm. you know, being there maybe through times when they needed me the most. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you become a community leader, you're taking on a huge responsibility. And I didn't understand that at first. Mm. And I would get overwhelmed about that. You know, I would get overwhelmed. I would get nervous because you don't have all of the answers. And I think when you become a community leader, families and children that you work with, families, you know, parents think you have everything in order. You have all of the answers to everything, and you have this perfect life, and you have no flaws, but that is not true. And, you know, I let them know that, you know, and I'm very transparent about that. You know, I have flaws. I'm still working on myself. I don't have all of the answers, but I will most definitely try my best to get you those answers and lead you to the resources that's needed for you. So I would want to be remembered in that sense, you know, just knowing that I was there in a way, you know, through whatever they, you know, were going through or needed, I was able to, if I didn't know it, I was able to lead them to resources, and that I just really, truly cared, you know, and loved them, which I do.
Yeah, that's obvious through the things that I've observed you just doing. You have a lot of love for the people, the children and their families in your organization, and the support that I've just seen blossom over the years has been just surreal. It's just like you all are like a family, you know. It's not just Grace Harvey, the community leader, the executive director of Pink and Pearls for Girls, but, you know, you're like family to those girls. And, you know, you can't get that a lot of times with a lot of organizations. You know, they're not as hands-on as and direct a lot of times, and it doesn't feel authentic in a sense. But right. I do know you offer that. So that's always a plus in my book when even seeking out organizations to be connected with, because you want that authenticity. You want the real. You don't want spend your time with people, you know, who in essence you can kind of tell just from being around them that they're not really there for you. They're there for other reasons. So, you know, it's awesome what you're doing. It really is.
Thank you.
I know we're getting ready to wrap up, and I guess the only other question I really want to know, as far as, do you have any upcoming events or activities that you're, you know, looking to put out to the community once this is over, or do you have some Zoom ideas going on that you're about to, you know, put on?
Well, right now, you know, we do have the virtual Pink and Pearls for Girls, which is on social media, on Facebook. We created a group that way, so we're still active with the girls, and we do fun activities once a week. We have a weekly thing that we're doing, so if anyone have any girls that want to get involved with the some activities with Pink and Pearls for Girls, they can most definitely reach out to us, and we'd be glad to get them into those virtual groups that we have. Once the pandemic is over and it's safe for us to go back out in the community, we do have a lot of great celebrations coming up, because we're celebrating our 10th year anniversary. So you'll see we have Tierra's, T and Tierra's event that will be coming up that you'll see. We also have an annual girls conference for the girls that you'll see that. And then we'll be doing something special too. We'll be doing a I'm Every Woman event, where we'll be recognizing women in the community and the contributions that they've given. So you'll be able to see that coming up too as well.
Carol, yes, we do think alike. We shall talk more. But anyway, Grace Harvey, pre-K teacher, but executive director of Pink and Pearls for Girls Incorporated. It has been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on the show.
Thank you so much for being my guest today. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing. It's needed. It really is
ma'am,
needed.
Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you so much.
It really is needed. All right, audience, I hope you have enjoyed my special guest for today, Miss Grace Harvey. She has really blessed us with her words today and encouragement. Take heed to what she said and apply it to your own life. Until next time, We thank you and appreciate you. Keep shining, loves. Keep shining. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.